is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Well, the general election 2020 is full steam ahead now, whereas we're just months away from we'll all be voting for either President Trump or the former VP, Joe Biden. And that campaign is going to be front and center, and it's a big one in the next many, many months. We will be taking that on today on Viewpoint, as well as really diving into the narrative of what socialism is. Is it really communism and Marxism? And what does that all really mean? We'll have a former CIA, Del Wilbur, will be on. We'll get into that. Also, Michael Johns will join us. We'll be talking about the Black Lives Matter leader, one of his statements here this past week about burning down the system in an interview he did. What does that really mean exactly, right? And then we've got some big breaking news later in the program. We will be launching a new program here on America Out Loud. It's a big one, and we'll tell you more about that later on here. We're excited about this one, and you will be as well when you hear the host of this and what we're taking on, the challenge here. I think you'll appreciate what we're trying to accomplish. And lots of top stories here, people, media, COVID-19, defunding the police, and America's cities are failing. Let's get started here on the top stories with Dennis Santiago. Dennis is an American strategist. He focuses on strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, and global stability. And good to have back here Ava Armstrong. She's a political commentator, radio personality here at America Out Loud. Ava is a great author. Her books you can find on Amazon or on the America Out Loud bookstore, where you'll get all kinds of books. That link is at the nav bar right at AmericaOutLoud.com. So President Trump commuted the sentence of Roger Stone on Friday, late Friday, just days before he was set to report to prison. And there was a lot of talk about this in the last many days. The White House announced the move in a statement late Friday night, declaring that he was a victim of the Russia hoax that the left and its allies in the media, that for years they pushed this narrative, of course, on the Trump presidency. We know that. Now, the charges, Stone was convicted, as you know, in federal court in November of making false statements, witness tampering, and trying to impede a congressional investigation into Russian election interference. And he was set to report to prison on Tuesday. The president jumped in and acted on that. So really, a lot of people got swept up into this whole Russia narrative. There's a whole lot of them, actually. Was this a good move by the president?
I think it was a very good move by the president, basically, because this is an old man. This is a commutation, right? So he's still guilty and he's not appealing the sentence. They're just reducing it to nothing to get him out of prison because in this day and age, sending somebody that old to prison is kind of like a death sentence, particularly because you've got COVID circulating inside the prison system. So I think it's a mercy thing. More than anything else for this guy.
The problem with a lot of this is that the people who are throwing stones live in glass houses, Ava. I mean, the people who are doing this really have a past themselves, which is what I chuckle all the time when you talk about Washington. Let me tell you the Democrats' response to this. So the Democrats cast the decision as an effort by the president to undercut the rule of law.
Well, if it was Barack Obama pardoning somebody, they wouldn't have anything to say about it. So, I mean, it's just a false narrative, really, that these people are all crooks and they were actually prosecuted by crooks. So how do you figure that out?
That's a great line right there. That's a great line. They were actually, and that's what I was trying to say. You obviously said it better than I did, but they're prosecuted. That's what I mean. They're all crooks. And so it just depends who gets there first, I guess. There's something warped about the whole system. Well, listen, the Wall Street Journal, prosecution of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn has already exposed the bad faith of the FBI and Justice Department in pursuing him, even when they knew there was no basis for an investigation. Now, federal judge Emmett Sullivan is continuing the legal torture Pfizer by appeal in an order from a panel of D.C. Circuit Courts of Appeals to drop the charges. This thing is getting weird. I mean, it's been weird, but it's even getting weirder. I mean, this is Judge Emmett Sullivan we're speaking about here in the court, and he refuses to give in, Ava. He's not going to let in for a moment here. He's holding on to, he's been ordered to let go of this thing and sign off on it. He still won't do it. As you know, there was an appeals court who intervened. They're not removing him yet as a judge, which I think a lot of people are surprised. And now the Wall Street Journal say, listen, just pardon, be done with it. But a lot of people want him to be exonerated and not be pardoned. What are your thoughts on that?
I want him exonerated as well. This whole Russia thing was a hoax. So how can you imprison people legitimately on a hoax? You can't do that. So I think actually Judge Emmett Sullivan is the one who should be prosecuted in this case, because he's actually persecuting a person, not prosecuting. There's a big difference.
This whole event with the Russia conspiracy was just an event to take down the Trump administration. And you see, when we talk about people like Manafort, and we talk about people like Roger Stone, and we talk about Papadopoulos, and we talk about all of these in Flynn, all of these people and characters got swept up into this whole Russia narrative to pull the president down. And really shines a light on how corrupt DC is. Not that all of you out there don't know that, but it really does spotlight just how sick the environment is up there. Now, talking about sick or sick-minded, if you will, let's talk about COVID-19 and your trusted media, if you will. Now, so let me read you a couple of these headlines here. And so if I can't put a little more fear in you or scare the hell out of you, how's that? United States sees another record-breaking day with more than 63,000 coronavirus cases, says CBS News. Time to shut down again as coronavirus cases surge. The debate grows louder, Washington Post. As coronavirus surges in U.S., some countries have just about halted it, says the Wall Street Journal. Of course, not us here, naturally, right? And CNN, the U.S. is knee-deep in the first wave of the coronavirus pandemic, Fauci says. Of course, he's such a loved character, Fauci there, you know. I want to play for you next a very interesting audio clip. I'll tell you more about it on the other side. But the person you'll hear speaking now is Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet. She's an MD. She speaks out about COVID in the media. Listen to this. They want to try to make President Trump look like that he's unknowledgeable and just a pompous ass. That's what I get out of it. Am I wrong?
Oh, I think you're right. But also, I think there's an even more sinister aspect.
Wow.
And I'm saying this as somebody who is trained in both medicine and psychiatry, and I understand the use of propaganda to change people's thinkings. I've spent time in the Soviet Union during the Cold War and behind the Iron Curtain countries in Eastern Europe during the Cold War. I know how propaganda is used to control people, and I am very concerned at the way that I see the media using techniques to present information that is dangerous, wrong, and that is slanted to control people and generate fear, because the more that people are made to stay home, the more they suffer economic damage, the more they don't get the safe, effective treatment for COVID and can go about their lives, the more that it is setting up for control through another party to take over after this election and bring in total socialistic control in America. That has been their agenda since the 1950s. It has escalated since the 2008 election, and it is ramped up in degrees that I have never seen in this country in my entire life in this election cycle.
So you hear Dr. Vliet talk about the media component of this and the propaganda, the psychology that's being used, Ava. And I thought she put it out there really well, if you follow what she was saying and the parallels here of this. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I stopped believing anything in the media a long while ago, but especially when I found out how they're actually counting COVID deaths. There are many videos on YouTube that you can watch that show you this. And it's really, really fraudulent. There's fraud being perpetrated right now. on America.
Well, yeah, they say like 100,000, now it's 135, 140, whatever, in that range. And I have been on record as saying, Dennis, that I don't think it's, and I actually told Dr. Vliet that before, I don't think it's even half of that. I think it's far less. What's happening is they're charting everything, what Ava's speaking about, to COVID. If you, in other words, if you go in for a cardiac problem or lung problem or some other problem that you have cancer or whatever, and you had any sign of COVID, like any piece of it, what have you, or any, or even the antibodies in anything at all, any reference to it in your system, they are charging that as COVID related death, which means that overnight we've solved probably cancer, heart, and diabetes problems overnight, Dennis. You know that?
Yes, I do. There have been many stories about the fact that hospitals who have essentially stopped having elective procedures from, so they're starving for business, right? So part of the incentive here is if you report as a COVID case, your government subsidy or compensation for it is like three times what it is that you would get otherwise. So it's a way of making up lost revenue within the medical system. Can you really blame them for doing that, given that they are held down in many other areas? So I can't. The other thing about this is that the media really is distorting the magnitude of the problem. You know, when they do these comparisons between us and other countries, right? So they compare us to countries in Europe on a one-by-one basis, right? We have to remember, all of those countries in Europe have 1/10 of our population at best, right? We have 330 million people in this country. So percentage-wise, you know, we're not that bad off compared to other countries. Numbers, absolute numbers wise, yeah, because we circulate more with each other. But the thing that my doctor friends point out to me is that the death rates are going down.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Up.
That's
and
it.
The media is completely distorting things by just saying, hey, you know, like the case discovery rate is going up. If you listen to the health department people, they right. keep trying to say over and over again that we are getting more cases because we're doing more testing. But the media glosses over that and turns it into crisis of the day. It's kind of like, you know, there's a cloud in the air and so they have Stormwatch, right? That's so a, yeah, this yeah. is how they make money, by keeping people excited.
And well, President Trump has come out and said exactly what you're saying. I mean, he has said it's about the test and you've heard him out there saying it. But again, they are burying any sense of truth to the end of what we're talking about. So yes, hospitalizations are down. Yes, deaths are down. I mean, way down. And so, and there's a lot of conversations as to why that is, people. I mean, there's no one line, you know, there's the herd immunity factor. There's that. Yeah, that's what's always had to happen here, which was why locking everybody up was never a good plan, because it just delays the inevitable. And you got to get over this hiccup. There's a lot to this story, actually, about COVID and the fear. Listen, I read those headlines to you moments ago here, and they tell a story. The story is a four-letter word, and the four-letter word does start with F, but it is fear. This is a fear and propaganda campaign from the media, from C to Sean and C people. And that's what you have here with COVID-19 and the media. It's being used to suppress. Now, I want to tell you a programming note here about what you just heard with Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet. We have the most interesting program I think we've ever done on COVID. Now, you heard just a little bit of it, but we get into all kinds of things, like should you be wearing your mask or not wearing your mask? What are the factors if you get it? How can you save your life? What is the suppression moment? There is so much we cover in this program. It is by far one of the most, and there's breaking news in this program as well. It's by far the most interesting, in-depth conversation I've seen out there on COVID to date, and that is a fact, people. It's the show is called Political Suppression of COVID News That Could Save Your Life. That show, here's the programming note now, will play Monday on The Voice of the Nation at 6 and 10 on my weekly program. You'll catch that 6 and 10, The Voice of the Nation, on Monday, if you're hearing this now on Sunday on America Out Loud Talk Radio. But there's one other special note. If you stay just after this program today on Sunday, You will catch this, a special Sunday broadcast showing of this program at 11 a.m. It follows Viewpoint at 10. So if you're here on this live on talk radio, you're in good shape. You can hear the interview in its entirety right after Viewpoint. If you heard this later on and you didn't get up at 10 because you were lazy sleeping this morning, then you missed the show and you'll catch it Monday. There's the point I want to tell you. And also, Dr. Vliet has an op-ed on AmericaOutloud.com. Must read. It is number one of the week. Tyrants today threaten America's independence with the COVID-19 weapon. My fellow Americans, our job is to get the truth out there. We need your help to get that truth out to the American people. We know it's being suppressed. We understand that, but it's not being suppressed at America Out Loud. So get the truth out there. That's what needs to happen next. Defunding the police, I want to talk to you both about. This movement to defund and in some cases abolish the police. I want to ask you, Ava, answer me this. What are the differences between, when we talk about defund and abolish the police, what are the differences between the Trump and the Biden campaigns coming into 2020 election now when it comes to law and order and defunding and abolishing the police?
Oh, it's very well known that President Trump is a big law and order president. He's always backed the blue. He's very understanding that, you know, if they need new training or more training, you know, he's very open to those ideas, but you cannot remove the police from our society. It's just not going to happen. I mean, if it does happen, well, you'll find out real quick what dangerous freedom means.
Yeah, and we're seeing that now. I mean, because you see, one of the cities, there's so much going on in so many cities. One of the ones we're not hearing much about these days, but it's one of the hottest epicenters of this problem, is Portland. Portland's police union spoken loudly over the last couple of days against public officials for enabling, listen to this, for enabling people, the rioters, to destroy the city. As demonstrators, again, they keep taunting the cops and throwing stuff at the cops, abusing the cops. He has a post out entitled, "This Cannot Continue." He goes on to say, "Stand up and defend Portland. Condemn the violence and the burning, looting and destruction of property, trust and support, and the decisions made by law enforcement leaders who simply want to keep the residents and business owners safe and the peaceful protesters, wherever they are." But that's not what's happening. And all this is sparked from this, you know, Minneapolis event. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But Dennis, this violence is huge. In the meantime, listen to this. You're going to love this. After all of this going on from Portland to New York City, so after defunding the NYPD $1 billion, like, this is crazy stuff, people. I see the headline in the last day or so, Dennis, that says, this is almost a comedic late night hour headline program here. After 28 shootings in 72 hours, de Blasio says, "We are not going to allow gun violence to continue to grow." Now, how does that work, Dennis? How can you not allow gun violence to continue to grow? And how can you do this when you've just cut the $1 billion? You've just cut law enforcement down. You've cut special forces in law enforcement down and violent crime units in law enforcement down. What is going on with de Blasio in New York City?
De Blasio is gone mad. There's no other way to put it. He has lost his mind. The New York has been one of the pioneering cities in exploring many of the innovations in targeted policing to keep violent crime down in this country, because it's a very concentrated city. Other cities in this country have explored things like community policing to a great degree. And it's these big cities that have really done most of the work in terms of innovating social support programs into police forces, because you have to remember that for the two decades prior to this, we as a society were asking the police to do everything. All right. So they've been developing all these programs. What the people that are saying defund the police are doing is shutting all these programs down and basically eliminating 2 to 3 decades worth of support that in an instant. And you know what? When you create a vacuum like that, mm-hmm. all hell breaks loose.
You know, that's a great
what's happening
point.
In New York.
That's a great point you just make. I've never thought of it in those terms, Ava. Over the last many years, he's so right when he says, mm-hmm. we've taken our police department and we've made them, you know, my golly, I mean, babysitters and homeschoolers and compassionate psychotherapists. And, you know, they, in other words, they become more than just what initially was the point, and now look what's happening. That's quite an interesting way to look at it, isn't it?
It's true. And the thing that I'm looking at right now is our Second Amendment rights. I want to make sure we retain every right as a citizen to defend ourselves with weapons if needed. And that's something I'm watching play out right now, and I'm very unnerved by it, because normal citizens who are trying to defend their own property are being having their guns taken away from them, are being prosecuted. And I see this as a very, very bad scene coming up.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah, talking about bad scenes, I want to talk about America's cities that are failing. Very interesting and a fantastic op-ed on America Out Loud today. You'll get it here. It's called Can We Reverse the Cultural Death Spiral in America's Cities? And that was written by yours truly over here on the program, Dennis Santiago. Dennis, in the program and the piece, which is a really great read, everybody needs to go read this. You talk about social programs to help the homeless have become a disaster. Far from fixing the problem, most cities' efforts have resulted in making the homelessness problem permanent. In the city of Los Angeles, for instance, there is now a tent city adjacent to the upscale neighborhood of Brentwood, home to many of Hollywood's elites. In Seattle and San Francisco, they roam the streets oblivious to social distancing protocols imposed on the rest of society by COVID-19. In some of our cities, the filth and drug use exceed even those of some third world calamities, explains her.
Malcolm, what we see right now in the cities is the governments of these cities basically reaching the limit of what they can do. They have given in.
Well, probably because they've given up on the rule of law. That would be number one.
Well, they've given in to the mob, okay? So mob rule has now taken over our cities. That's right. And they are no longer planning how to solve the problem. They're just planning on how to cope and live with the problem. The problem there is all the rest of the residents of these cities are recognizing that these governments can no longer look out for them, and they're beginning to figure out whether or not they want to leave, whether or not they want to continue to participate. You know, people are thinking like preppers. People are thinking like they're not part of what's going on anymore. They have the opportunity to leave the cities because a lot of them are going to be able to work remotely because of the adaptations to the economy. So I think our cities are in trouble. And I'm not really sure that the governments of these cities or the democratic approach to this, which is very socialistic, has the tools to repair what the damage has been done.
Well, I would go further than what you just said. I think you said, well, I think they are liberal socialist cesspools is what I would say, Ava. I would go much further than what Dennis just said. They are liberal socialist cesspools. They're not maybe in trouble. They are third world calamities for sure. I mean, it is disgusting. And you know something, Ava, you've heard me for years here, well before this civil unrest here, talk about America's cities. I passionately feel that there is no way to make America great on any level if we don't have great American cities and towns. It's not possible, Ava.
That's so very true. And I love, love, love this article that the brilliant Dennis Santiago penned. This is just fascinating. The big question that Dennis asks in this article is, can we reverse mm-hmm. the cultural death spiral? Mm-hmm. And this is very fascinating. If we defund the police and we stop enforcing laws and we just let people out of, they don't even have a jail sentence, they're just freed again, even if they're caught for something illegal, you're creating a, what the socialists like to call a utopia. But it's really not a utopia, it's a false utopia. So I really highly recommend everyone read this article, because Dennis lays it out chapter and verse of how it will roll out when all of this takes place, and it's frightening.
Next, we're going to talk about the year is 2021. What does communism look like in America, which is really socialism, which is really the Democrat Party, which is really what happens if you give the keys to the election over to the extremists. This is what happens. Former CIA Del Wilber will be up. We'll discuss that. Very interesting op-ed he's got on the platform as well. Michael Johns will be on with us just after that. We will talk about burning down the system. What does that mean exactly? And we'll get into some of this other really interesting conversation from Black Lives Matter leader and other points of interest there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, the year is 2021, and the once great world power, the United States of America, is no more. In place of it is the new Socialist Republic of North America, SRNA, with the figurehead leader, Joe Biden, filling the ceremonial post of president. Well, the true power is held by the People's Republic of China and their chosen representative in the SRNA, the Democrat Communist Party chairman, Barack Hussein Obama. Wow. That is some striking words, and that should send shivers up and down your spines and your back there, I think. It certainly does mine for a lot of reasons. Now, listen, you can call that whatever you want. You can say it's a fairy tale, will never happen. You can call it a conspiracy of warped minds. You can say it's propaganda. You can call it whatever you want. But people, when you start to connect the dots of things we are talking about today that we've never talked about before, and the way we are talking about them now at the water cooler, and the way they have made socialism just a regular word of conversation, like it's a real possibility. And of course, socialism is just communism. It's Marxism. It's the same. All roads lead that way, people. It's not a good picture there. So let's take that on next with Del Wilber. Del is a former CIA and Department of Defense Intelligence and Counterterrorism officer. Del is one of those people that likes to get you to think outside the lines a little bit. And so he always has a different take and a spin on his pieces, which I really appreciate that, quite frankly. So, Del, we say in here, you might think this is a fairy tale, but the America of 2021 is headed in this very direction if the socialists win in November. Now, let's tear that apart, that first paragraph you have there when you say, because you say some pretty striking things about the figurehead leader, Joe Biden, and then you get into Barack Obama. Go ahead and take it from there, please.
Yeah, first of all, good morning to you, Malcolm. And, you know, the thing that strikes me is I think anyone that is paying attention, it is pretty obvious that Joe Biden is not operating on all cylinders. And, you know, as such, he's not really, qualified to hold the highest office in the land and protect the United States and its citizens from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. He is operating in a diminished capacity mentally.
Yeah, I mean, but that's even if that was the only concern, but it's not, because that's one thing, sure. And we've been poking at that for a while. But the bigger conversation is what you talk about in the piece here. I mean, he really has just adapted. I mean, let's talk about the fact that he just took Bernie Sanders' platform and incorporated it into his platform and the Democrat Party. Right or wrong?
No, absolutely. And, you know, he's adopting the influences from Sanders, from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the other members of the so-called squad, anybody that he thinks will generate some votes for him. But honestly, I don't think Joe Biden really knows what's going on around him. I think the decisions are being made for him, and he's just falling in line and parroting what the script that he's been given. And so consequently, what's happening is, you know, the party as a result has swung so far to the left that it's nearly indistinguishable from, you know, the old Communist Party of the USA that was involved in politics and in our government for decades.
Yeah, that we seen as kids. We seen that back in the 70s, right? I mean, yeah, to yeah, talk about that. Yeah, we kind of thought it was like, that's never going to happen here. But I mean, it was like, okay, whatever, man, you know? And we just moved on with it. But now it's like really talking about it. You know, with the incorporating of all these socialism policies, new green deals, things of this nature, which would clearly be detrimental to our health and well-being here as a country. Now, with Biden, you say something really interesting there, how he's not in control of the campaign, if you will. He's not in control of what he's doing. And you kind of sort of know that. Everybody can see that a bit here. Like when the campaign comes out with an announcement, Dell, or a mention of something, you obviously know he didn't say that. And you know that's not him talking. But it's like, this is what Biden is saying or thinking. Now, my question is this. How do you think that works between now and November? How successful do you think they will be, the apparatus around him, to keep everything at bay and to keep him really tightened and locked down? Will they be? Do you think they'll be successful with that? How does that turn out between now and November? Or is there no way that happens and that you're going to have to peel that skin off?
The thing to keep in mind is that the Democrat Party has the news media in their pocket. Mm. So even if Biden gets obliterated in any debates, which I'm still not convinced that they're actually going to happen. But even if he gets obliterated in the debates by Donald Trump, which I fully anticipate would be what occurred. But even if that happened, it's going to be played in the media as though Joe Biden was strong and he came out vigorous and he showed his moxie. You know, I mean, that's how it's going to be portrayed in the news media, because the news media absolutely despises Donald Trump and they will do whatever it takes to try to influence voters to vote for Biden.
The debates, if the debates did happen, and a lot of people are suspecting what you just said is pretty accurate, and you can see the campaign now is starting to come up with reasons. There are other operatives that have now flushed the what they really do on the left a lot, Dale, do you find? They put out their trial balloons. They float these trial balloons with certain operatives, I find, in the media. It's really a system, if you will, to take it down. And what they've been floating in the last couple of weeks is, well, he should only do a debate if Donald Trump will release his taxes. Well, he should only do a debate if Donald Trump will admit he had sex with somebody back in 63. That's the only way he should do a debate, or he shouldn't debate him.
Yeah, I mean, in the military, you know, they call it preparing the battle space, you know, and that's, you know, you're setting things up so that you're, you know, likely to be successful. And that's what's going on. They're looking for ways that they can either cancel out the debates altogether. I think what we're going to see at some point is conditions are going to be placed that Trump is going to balk at, and then Biden is just going to stamp his feet. You know, obviously, you know, his puppet masters are going to tell him to go out there and stamp your feet and say, I'm not even talking to this guy. He's not worth the the time of day to even be on a stage with him. I mean, I really think that that's what's going to happen, because Biden is really incapable of holding his own in the I mean he showed that in the debates for the nomination with the other Democrats. He looked like a fool up there, and once it became apparent that they needed him to be the nominee because the other ones were just unpalatable to most Americans, then the news media started saying how, oh, he really did a good job last night. You know, when anybody who watched the debate knew that was a bunch of you know, horse hockey.
Do you think mostly the American people will see through this, Dell? Do you believe that or what?
You know, I used to have a lot of confidence in the wisdom of the American people, but, you know, they elected Barack Obama twice. And, you know, 65 million of them, you know, minus one or two, you know, million illegals voted for Hillary Clinton. So a lot of my confidence has gone by the wayside in recent years.
Yeah. And you always have a very descriptive four or five words you use when you describe Barack Obama. How would you describe Barack Obama? What do you call him?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but he's a commie rat bastard. You know, he hid his true ideology during the 2008 campaign when he was running for the nomination. He concealed his true ideology because he knew that it would be unacceptable to the majority of Americans. And the only way that he was going to get the nomination and actually win the presidency was to portray himself as something that deep down inside he is not. I mean, he is not a moderate. He's not even a liberal. He is a far left-wing Marxist. And he knew that the American people simply would not accept that. So he covered it up until he got elected. And then he started implementing the things that, he started working towards, you know, what he himself described as his fundamental transformation of the United States. And I find it interesting that, you know, Joe Biden has just recently made a similar statement that he's going to transform America. So this effort to undermine America and to paint anybody who is not a rabid socialist, you know, as a war criminal or a sheet wearing KKK or a neo-Nazi, and that's been going on since even before Reagan. So it's just it's an assault that this country has been under now for decades.
It is indeed. It's an assault this country has been under for decades. There, you're listening to the voice there of Dell Wilbur. He's a former CIA, again, Department of Defense Intelligence, counterterrorism officer. I love what he puts out there in the background. I want you to go read his op-ed, people. It's very interesting. Listen, it'll make you think. It'll make you think. Again, it's entitled, "The Year is 2021. America is Now Communist." There's a lot of information, a lot of great reads on America Out Loud. I have to tell you, this weekend, it is full of great material here. A lot of the shows and the substance we've talked about today on the platform are right there to read and to share with America here. Now, as we talk about with Dell, it's vitally important we get the truth out there. That's our job. That's all of our jobs to do here. Listen, I'm just a messenger here, and I'm just one here carrying the bag for the American people here to help us spotlight the truth. There was another very interesting op-ed you must read on there from Colonel Jim Warshak. It's called "The Democrats' Secret Battlefield Trained Insurgents." Now, this is a really must read. If you want to understand the origins of Antifa and the fact of how it ties to Europe and Syria and the YPG, and you want to understand what's going on with these trained insurgents from, again, sea to sea here in a lot of our cities and towns, these are not just local domesticated problems we're dealing with here, people. This is a trained operation to try to take down our nation, combined with what Dell was just talking about. Well, that should leave you all with a gulp and a concern of our great nation. Now, this is the time. We have got to fight and get this out there. I mean, I can't express this any other way. I also did a two-part show with Colonel Warshak that was called "Democrats' Secret Battlefield Election Strategy." It is a most informative two-part program on the Voice of a Nation, our weekday program. It's a must-listen. I'm telling you right now, if you haven't heard it, it was playing Thursday and Friday, but here's the good news. It is still on talk radio, won't be on podcast till late next week, but you can hear it on Monday morning So make a note now, jot it down. Between 8 and 10 a.m., both parts will be run back-to-back there, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Just do the math again of the time zone you're in, and you can hear that program in its entirety, the both hours. And I will tell you this, the second part of that, the second show, let's just say that the monologue is probably one of the most blistering monologues I've done in a very long time, if not ever, potentially. But it puts it out there in plain daylight. So go read the op-eds, listen to that. So let's more so talk next year, and as we continue on here with Viewpoint, burning down the system. Michael Johns will join us in just a moment here, and we'll talk about what that means. That was the Black Lives Matter leader who came up and said that on an interview he had this past week. Stay right there, friends, as Viewpoint rolls on.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, in the next segment, burning down the system. What does that really mean? Well, I'm going to tell you here, because quite a fascinating interview this past week here with a Black Lives Matter leader we'll talk about here. Let me bring on first here Michael Johns. He's the national co-founder and leader of the Tea Party movement. He's a former White House speechwriter and a policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. And Michael and I are first going to talk about this burning down the system, and then I've got a big breaking news story, which I told you about at the top of the program. We will be unveiling and tell you more about what's going to happen next here on the program, on the platform. First, this Black Lives Matter leader, Hawk Newsom, did an interview with Martha McCallum this past week, which was really quite revealing here. I want to play a quick audio clip for you where it is talked about burning down the system and what that means. Give it a listen.
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. All right. And I could be speaking figuratively. Okay. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation.
So, Michael, we hear this Hawk Newsom. He's one of the leaders is what I'm seeing here. And he's talking about what he believes. He's either going to get their way, what their demands are, or he's going to burn down the system, he says. I mean, it is quite striking when you hear these people come out and they reveal their plans to the American people. It was an awkward interview he had, but it was a very revealing interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awkward, like right from the beginning. And you could tell that Martha, who's a, you know, quintessential journalistic professional, was almost uncomfortable with it right away. I think she saw the way it was going. But it's very instructive, I think, for the American people to listen to that particular interview, because that is the person that this well-organized, well-funded organization is putting before the country to explain what they're doing. So we have these cliches, these bumper stickers that I think a lot of Americans agree with, which is one of the reasons there is a lot of political momentum behind them. I mean, we all believe all lives matter, Black lives matter. I think many of us, me included, would even buy into the idea that we need some reform in the way we structure law enforcement nationally. What we don't buy into, and what no real serious person in this country buys into, is burning down the system and handing it over to a guy like that who we've never heard from before, and whose ideologies and modus operandi is probably wholly antithetical to the way this country has historically been structured and is structured. And I thought most importantly, when we go to define what BLM really is, what, you know, what they stand for, what they're about, the, you know, the three founders of this organization were unequivocal several years ago in an interview that they were highly trained, focused Marxists. Okay. Marxism, the methodology with which we bring socialism to life. Lenin himself said socialism is just, you know, a precedent and an avenue to communism. So, you know, we're always very reluctant to call people communists. I think anyone who's sort of familiar with the McCarthy era and the overuse of that phrase is kind of timid in using it. But that essentially is, in fact, what we are dealing with at the high level leadership. And then, of course, below it, there are probably many hundreds of thousands of well-intentioned people who are just simply being misled.
It's important to say communism, though. It's important to take that warm and fuzzy feeling about what the AOCs and Bernie Sanders have tried to put out there, manipulate the American people with this new Green Deal philosophy and with the whole socialism program, because it is communism. So I think you're spot on with what you say. And we've got to tell the American people this, because anybody who thinks this is just, you know, some warm and fuzzy version of what America is going to do next. And, you know, Michael, a lot of this really works right toward the transformation of the United States of America, which is not only what Barack Obama promised in his 8 years that he got with his Hope and Change campaign, but that Joe Biden is now promising to continue the Obama legacy with the transformation of America, I think. And now you see Biden takes on this whole Sanders platform. I think it's a point of time to talk about this. What socialism, in fact, that's been the narrative we spoke about on the whole show today, but the socialism, communism thread. This is a moment of time we need to open up the eyes here, don't you think?
Absolutely. I'm glad that you caught what Biden said about using that same phraseology that Obama used, and he used that in the final days of the campaign, like when you had the most national attention being placed in that 2008 campaign. What he said is, I think we're 72 hours away or 3 days away from fundamentally transforming the country. And that's code language to this far radical left, meaning you don't really have to put a lot of verbiage behind that. They know what it means. They mean the economic system of a free market and a free economy that we've historically, has been at the core of the greatest economy in the history of the world, the United States of America, is going to be tossed in the garbage for their socialist designs, which, by the way, are not new. They're not creative. They're not fun. They're not cool. They have never worked anywhere in the history of man. And they like to kind of play around with the word and say, well, we're not talking about, you know, what Maduro is doing in Venezuela or what the Castros did in Cuba, or what Stalin did or what Mao did. Those guys were brutal. We're talking about where, you know, so the democratic socialism, where that works. Mm. Well, let me just say that's never existed. The Nordic countries that they point to are free market capitalist systems. In many ways, the regulations, the tax structures are even more favorable than they are in the United States in some cases. Those are not socialist countries. And for decades now, they've been selling this lie that somehow Norway, Sweden, Denmark, you were kind of what they were looking for. And why did they say that? Because that doesn't intimidate the American people. I believe the American people want a safety net. I believe the American people deserve a safety net. I believe capitalism in its most extreme forms can be too hardened. We don't want people who fall on hard times to have their lives destroyed. But here's the other thing it's never said. You know what system has provided the greatest safety net in the history of man? Capitalism. Because ultimately, the economic vibrancy and the resources that are provided a government through a free market economy are vastly greater than they are in a socialist economy.
Yeah,
so in Venezuela today, three out of four people, I'm ballparking that, are trying to find clean water.
Yeah.
They're killing their pets to have something to eat. I mean, it's barbaric. Don't sit around and just say, hey, this doesn't matter to me just because they're renaming a street or they're, getting rid of a statue. That's precisely how the Venezuelan Revolution started. Yeah. And so, you know, as I said, what we're dealing with is a movement at a high level who fully understands the science and the strategy behind those revolutions, and then masses of people that are, as has existed in every communist revolution, who are naively following them and giving them political momentum that makes it like maybe a possibility of succeeding.
You know, I've got friends from Venezuela and people I know from the quality of life down there. They cannot even buy a roll of toilet paper, quite honestly, or a gallon of milk. I mean, it is that bad. And there's simply no exaggeration to that. And when you said 3 out of 4, you were being generous. It's really probably 3.8 out of 4 because it's only the very elite there and then everybody else. You talk about a lopsided system, which really should showcase everybody to understand what socialism, aka communism and Marxism, is. And it really is that there's a few people at the top, they're power seekers and power gainers, and they throw a net out there to really elude the truth, but to it's really a propaganda campaign to what they see as their vision. They become the elites. You sort of have that going on right here in our own nation now. And when people see this, there's a lot of trickery going on with words. The thing that the left is very, very good at is marketing. They are absolutely brilliant marketers. Now, as a marketer myself, and something I've done all my life, Michael, this is something I understand very, very well. Just in the case of what we started this segment with, Black Lives Matter is a perfect case. They, everything they do has nothing about that. Just like Green New Deal, everything they put out there is the direct opposite of what it's supposed to be. And they're very good at marketing this stuff to the American people. And the problem is, the biggest problem we have, and the other point here, Michael, is the media is completely aligned with this sort of deficit thinking of truth. And that's where we've got this plummet in here of any common sense and truth. And quite frankly, there's a percentage of the American people that are being led down the yellow brick road here.
Yeah, in fairness to the American people, I think this has always been the case. If you are not engaged in this in a professional capacity from day to day, you know, we talk about, you know, kind of your normal American.
That's true.
I mean, I don't think there's any normal American. Everyone's exceptional in their own way. But, you know, if you've got a family life and you've got a, you know, a 50, 60 hour a week job and you've got financial pressures and you've got all kinds of
family and
other obligations, how much time do you realistically have in any given week to really digest these issues, much less look beneath the surface knowing that they're being fundamentally misrepresented?
Yeah, no, I like what you say there. It's a valid point. Let me get to some of the big news that we've been talking about on the program. But what you say there is really important because we understand everybody is busy in their lives. And, you know, everybody's got lots to do here themselves than to pay attention to every nuance and detail that's happening in the public square, which is why I'm pleased and happy to announce what we're going to talk about next here. Because, you know, the whole mantra of Viewpoint and of our platform has been to get the out loud truth out there. It really was to bring more common sense, but more truth to the airwaves. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? I mean, really, because there is that, it's a deficit out there of any level of honesty, that it's just manipulation of the media headlines. So listen, here's where we're at now. Let me now announce to you what is going to happen here, along with Michael, who's on the program with me, and very pleased to tell you. As we are in the process now of excited to tell you that we are going to be launching now a brand new hour here to expand the Viewpoint brand, and with a brand new hour, which will follow Viewpoint this Sunday, starting next weekend, which is the 19th of July in the year 2020, right? I always like to say that, in the year 2020. So when we listen back to this later on, we'll remember what we did. Now, Viewpoint is a very unique news magazine. We launched this coming up in just a few months. We'll be 3 years old, celebrating our 3 years anniversary. It was the idea to bring real voices, real people, real news to the airwaves to counteract some of these public news broadcasts that have gone badly awry. They have agendas that are grossly misstated in any sense of truth. And, you know, at least let's bring both sides of the conversation to the table and talk about what we're trying to do here. So this new brand will launch at 11 a.m. It will follow Viewpoint this Sunday and be next week. And the co-host of that show, I am thrilled to announce to you all out there, will be Michael Johns and myself, yours truly here, Malcolm Out Loud. And we will be bringing this new product, new program to you every Sunday now. And this is an important time, Michael, because a couple of things here. We have election 2020 right here at the doorstep, and the next few months are going to be vital to get information out there. But also the challenges we've been through in this past year, I mean, are unprecedented. I mean, I think I get more responses in here from listeners and readers and people who say they're like in shock that the nation is going through the kinds of struggles and challenges we're going through. We're at a very historical turning point of America where we're going to have to make some decisions on which way we're going. So in any event, I want to welcome you, Michael, to the platform and the program to be doing this. Excited to have you. You and I have had great synergy over time now in the platform, and thrilled to have you here, buddy.
Yeah, thank you very much. I felt the same way. I appreciate those kind words. I've been at this my entire adult life, so which is now, decades, both in Washington, D.C. and on a grassroots level. And I've come to some conclusions. I've come to the conclusion that I think most of your listeners believe strongly, and that is that you need to bring change to Washington. We're not going to get change from Washington. We're not going to wake up one day and all of a sudden there's some, awakening and these people are righting the ship. The pressure has to be brought on them to do that. And we cannot do that without citizens of this country who are educated, knowledgeable, know what's going on, and are committed to the founding principles on which this country was created. And that was my motivation in starting the Tea Party movement. It was broader than just blocking Obama, though we did that very successfully. And I believe that we're, even in the Trump era now, in a position where even Trump's political strength, more than any president that I've seen in my lifetime, is drawing his success, his emotional power to move through on these difficult issues from the people. Congress hasn't really been particularly helpful. And by that, I don't just mean Democrats. I mean, he was right with everything he said in 16 about just basically all the political establishment. And so I believe the challenges we confront right now are extraordinary. And it starts with building and continuing to build a strong network of individuals who are just committed to those basic principles, truth, honesty, and patriotism.
I will tell you something. In looking across our nation, again, as I always do, friends, from sea to shining sea, and you look at the analysts out there, the commentators, the people who bring the news to you in every sense of being that it is, in all of these shows and programming, I would challenge any of you to find somebody more informed, more passionate, more authentic, and such a caring human being as this man right here, Michael Johns. Without a doubt, I believe he is the best of the best, the creme de la creme. We'll talk more about all of this next weekend as we launch the new program. And we invite you again, join us next weekend for Viewpoint this Sunday, and then we're going to unveil the new program right after that at 11 a.m. Next Sunday, the 19th. And I look forward for you to be with me, friends, on the mission. And as we continue to expand the voices here at America Out Loud, help us back there at America Out Loud get the message out there and help tell people the Out Loud truth does live, and it lives right here. Thank you again, friends, for being with me here. It's time to get involved and get loud.